Pastor Andrew and Dar Draper are in the house today. We're so excited. They've been friends of this house for a very, very long time, for many, many years. They have loved our leadership well, and they have encouraged us when we've needed encouragement, and we just, the Jenkins and the Kimmers, we love Pastor Dar and Andrew. A lot of you already know them and love them, and if you haven't met them yet, you will know them and love them. They're missionaries to the Ukraine. They love people fiercely. They are creatives that express the heart of the Father in so many beautiful ways, and they've given their lives for the sake of the gospel. They will challenge you to go love others well, and we are always honored when they accept our invitation to come and share with us. So everybody that's in the room, please help me welcome Pastors Dar and Andrew to the stage.
I love this family. I love the gathering. The family of God. Love it. We are family. Oh, love it. I've got to say, this verse is on my heart today. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called the children of God, and that is what we are. I love saying that verse. We are His kids. And you know what? There's no grown-ups in God. Have you ever thought about that? There's no grown-ups in God. There's only children of God. And He loves us to approach Him as a child. In fact, when the disciples are arguing over who's going to be the greatest, what does He do? He calls forth a little child, and He says, unless you change and become like one of these, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. We don't preach on that a whole lot, do we? We're all about our grown-up ways, and I think we forget. So Father's Day is a great day to remember the pecking order. God is the Father. He's such a great Father. And no matter what our experience is with our earthly father, we have a great Father. And he fills in all the gaps. Don't you love that? He fills in all the gaps. You know, I lost my father a couple months ago. This is my first Father's Day without my dad. And I was so thankful to just for who he was in my life. And, you know, there's ups and downs, and every relationship has its ups and downs, but God fills in all the gaps. And I can even stand here and know that, like, I still have a father. I have my Father in heaven. I'm so thankful for that. But I have my Heavenly Father who is going to make sure I have the people in my life, and I have the spiritual covering. You know, I don't have a sister, but I've got lots of sisters in the kingdom. That's what's so awesome about the family of God. He fills in all the gaps. So if you feel like you have a deficit in your life and family, the Lord wants you to know you can find it. He will supply it. Ask Him. If you need a spiritual mom, if you need spiritual children, if you need, like, there is work to do. There's people to pour into, and there's people to pour into you. He will fill in all the gaps. I just want to say that today. I also felt to just release one that my husband's going to share. Last time we were here, we both shared, and I was like, I think we went to it way too long, so I apologize. I was like, they're going to be scared to have us back because we just, you know. So I was like, I'm just going to come up for a couple minutes. And then Papa Andrew has gotcha. So, but I did feel to just say this little nugget, is one of my favorite quotes, is it's always your turn to love. It's always your turn to love. Isn't that good? Because we can, that person did, and offense can rob so much from us when we're offended. But, like, you love. And that doesn't mean love is different ways. Sometimes love is a little bit removed, and it's in prayer, and it's seeking. It doesn't mean you're always going to be, like, laying down and being a doormat. I'm not saying that. But it is always your turn to respond in love. So that's just what I felt like the Lord wanted to say. Sweet Pastor Brittany, I love her so much. She is, what a blessing she is. Talking behind her back, she's not even here. But as she said, we are from the GLOW mission. GLOW stands for Go Love Others Well. And we've been here many times, and we're so thankful for the gathering and the way you guys monthly give into our mission. And our mission is, it began with a prayer, Lord, give me more of a heart for kids in the world. He opened a door to us having a Ukrainian orphan in our home, and it gave us a heart for orphans. Every yes to the Lord can lead from one thing to another. The great thing about our mission is it's not limited. When your mission is go love others well, there are always people who need loving. So now we're not just in Ukraine. We have a camp in Kannapolis, used to be Cedar Grove Camp, if you guys know about that, the old Girl Scout camp, but it is Camp Glow now, and we are raising up a generation of kids to go love others well. We got camps starting tomorrow, our elementary camp, we got camps coming up, we just finished our high school retreat, and kids are being raised in a culture to love others, and to love God and love others, which is, you know, it's the greatest thing God asked us to do. Jesus asked the greatest command to love God with everything and love others as we love ourselves. So as you pray for us, and as you know, you just know your church is giving to us monthly, and it's going for that. It's going for our work in Ukraine, which you're going to see a video in a second. We have missionaries now, and the Lord, there's new projects. The Lord is always asking us to just take one step further. Come along. This is a journey, and we keep taking more steps with Him. So we have some new things for the children of the world, and discipleship material we're developing, and we're very excited. So I'm going to just let you watch the picture's worth a thousand words, a video's worth, I don't know how many thousand words. So there you go. Here's your video.
Hello, Glow friends and family. I just wanted to come to you and give you an update halfway through the year here on what has been happening with the Glow mission. Oh, so many ways to go love others well across the world, and we are just so grateful for your support. Wanted to give you a peek in just a couple minutes of what's happened this year. A year ago this month, we launched Pops's Project. Now, this was an initiative in honor of my dad, Dave Shull, who loved building the church in other countries. We wanted to see a church built in Mashoun, Ukraine, which is an area that 80% of the homes were destroyed by war. But you guys rose the occasion, and you, out of the ashes of war, beauty came, because a church has now been established in Ukraine. A few weeks ago, Sergey was able to ordain the pastor of the church, and they are worshiping God every Sunday in a place where there were so many tears. Now people worship and gather and rejoice in knowing God and having the gift of eternal life. Thank you for that gift. It's the gift that you will only know in eternity how valuable it was. You guys have also just come to the call and sponsored more grandmas, and now we have 70 grandmas that are sponsored. Now, all of our grandmas and grandpas are so precious to us, and we are so thankful that our team loves on them. This expanding team over there is loving on them so well, and your giving of $60 a month helps to bring in all of the support they need for their medicine, their hygiene products, extra food. Thank you for the ways you love on them. You also give to our orphanage in Alexandria that is sponsored through grants, through fundraisers, and your giving. Marina and Sasha are caring for 40 young people who are now finding family where they had been abandoned or had death in their family. Now they have a godly family, and they are being loved on because of the Glow Mission. We want to also just give a big shout out to Camp Glow. Camp Glow is here in Kannapolis, and we are raising up a generation of people to go love others well, your family, your neighbor, your world. And we love kids, and we're all about discipling and raising them up in a culture to walk in love with others. So through our creative arts camps, classes, co-ops, all the just beautiful things going on at Camp Glow, you are pouring into the next generation of people to go love others well in the world. Thank you so much for all of these ways. And I just want you to know that we are always pioneering and looking for new ways to love on our world. Right now we have two new focuses, and one is our Warrior Word Bible Project, where we are putting Bibles in the hand, waterproof Bibles in the hands of Ukrainian soldiers on the front line. This is so exciting. We feel like the Lord's heart is with those in dire need, and His heart is with these warriors who are facing death. And because the word is getting in their hands, one that's durable and lasting, they are coming to know God. And we know this from firsthand experience from our partners in Ukraine and those who are handing out these Bibles. These Bibles are bringing people to know the Lord. So continue to sponsor this $5 for a Bible that's waterproof. It lasts, not only does it last in their heart, it's lasting on the pages, and these soldiers are getting the word in them and they are coming to know the Lord. We also have our Globe Media that's just been launched. You guys have been so supportive, and this is a tool that's also going to partner with the Globe Mission, and we're going to get kids all over the world connected to God and connected to their families and connected to each other through our transformative media and our new project, Hide and Seek Adventures in the Secret Place. So much happening here with Globe Mission, Camp Glow, Globe Media, all just aimed at helping equip others to go love others well. We want to fulfill the Great Commission through the greatest commandment. It's the greatest thing we can do with our lives. So thank you for all the ways you have invested in eternity and you've invested in us. God bless you. And let's keep doing it. Let's keep going into all the world and loving others well. God bless you guys.
So many of you have sponsored grandmas, and we just love it. And when we do projects like that, 100% goes to the grandmas, to the team. When we do the Bibles, last month we did a little drive, and we got 750 Bibles. And when these into Ukraine and through our partners in Romania, one of our partners had an idea and worked with Biblica to develop the first waterproof Bible. And we forgot to bring it. We're like, oh my goodness, but it's so cool. It's these plastic pages, and it just disintegrates. Bibles, you don't think about it, but it would just disintegrate with these soldiers on the front line, and they became useless very quickly in the elements. And so Sergei said, who's our director of operations in Ukraine, he said, they used to just give out even like laminated, like the Lord's Prayer, and they would like, they can't keep, they're like grabbing for it. And because those guys are facing death, you know, they're considering eternity. So we're just so thankful to be able to put these in people's hands, and 100% of that goes. So if you feel to give a gift in honor of your father, you know, you can go online to our globemission.org and give some soldiers waterproof Bibles. It will get into their hands, and we're so thankful. And I'll be in the back later too. If you're interested in hearing more about the Discipleship Project, I believe we were children's pastors for 10 years. We've worked with kids for over 30, and we believe the most important. There's two most important things parents can do. One is be as close to God as you can possibly be. I'm always to my kids. I was like, I need my time with Jesus because you need me to be close to Jesus. I'm a much better mother when I am close to Jesus. So that's the first thing. The second most important thing you can do is to connect your child's heart to the one relationship that will last beyond any other, and that's the relationship with God. Because we're not guaranteed to always be in their lives. We don't think about that, but we worked with orphans, and we know that, you know, people, the only one who will be in their life, their entire life, is God. He's the one who's with me. That's why I can have a peace in the midst of the things I go through, is because I have God. He's seen every moment of my life, and he has been there. So as parents, if we connect our kids' hearts to God, and that's what this is all about. I have a few of these cards I brought with me. I'm just back in from like a trip, a big trip. So I was like grabbing these from my suitcase, like, oh, I should take these to church today. But if you want one, come see me. But this has a picture of the project. This is a discipleship adventure for kids. And it's a way, it's called Hide and Seek Adventures, a Secret Place. It helps your kids have a relationship with God to develop the habit of having a devotional life as a child. And then the flip side of the book is show and tell. So we have hide and seek and show and tell family time, a way for the family to come together, turn hearts of parents towards kids and kids towards each other. So if you're interested, we did bring a few packs with us, but you can grab a card, get online, look at glowmediaworld.com and check that out. But anyway, that's that for after church. But for now, my husband, who I call husband, that's his name, husband, we just call him husband. Husband, come on up here. He's a great father. A father of our four children, of our Ukrainian kids, and he's my favorite. Yay.
I got to get set up. All right. That's my wife. You know, there are people who are like, what is it like being married to her? Have you ever been on the back of a boat when you got this guy who puts you on an inner tube and wants to get you off and slings you around 100 miles an hour. You know, that's what it's like. We go to Ukraine, and Dar's just like, she's like scheduled things out. And I'm fine. I'm like, Dar, people don't want us to die here. We can take a day off. Like, we're here for a month, Dar. We can take a day off, okay? We can just enjoy, you know, enjoy things and just chill, you know. But, man, Dar, man, she gets it done. So, you know, I am who I am today because of that lady right there, because she's pushed me in great ways, and it's caused me to be the man I am today. So thank you. On Father's Day, thank you. You're a good wife to me and sometimes a mother. Hate to admit that, but it's true. Okay, I hope this thing, I tried to fix this. I'm not a computer guy. But I was sitting there going, golly, man, my screensaver keeps popping up, and I gotta, like, you know, go back, and then I look silly because you understand. But first, what we're gonna talk about before I get into this is I want to make sure I'm starting in the right place. Okay, yep. First, what we're gonna talk about is our Warrior Bible Project, Word for Warriors. This project came to us. I mean, it's amazing what the Lord brings our way. I'm just blown away. Well, he brought this, and I was like, thank you, Jesus. Like, this is one of the coolest things I think we've been a part of. So this guy created, you can start showing some of these pictures, and you guys can see those, but this whole Bible project is so amazing because, like you said, the Bible's at the front line, you know, they fall into a trench, it's done. Like, you could open it up and some of the pages would be dry, but usually what that ends up turning into is toilet paper turns into something to roll cigarettes with, because all the words are gone and it's just paper at that point. And so they use it for whatever they can, or even to start fires or whatever, because you can't read it anymore. So I'm like, man, this is amazing nobody's thought of this. But they thought this is the first waterproof Bible. So just to give you a picture of what happens with these soldiers when they're called into duty. The chaplain, some of the chaplains there told Sergey, said, these guys have an average of 1 to 7 days before they enter eternity. And they know it. And so when you're facing that, you're facing eternity coming that quick, what are you going to do? You're going to grasp onto the rock that is higher than I, right? You're going to grasp on to Jesus. And so many of these kids grew up in Russian, Ukrainian Orthodox Church, and they, you know, heard about Jesus and stuff and probably didn't, you know, take it in a whole lot. I don't know. But that's kind of the culture there. But, man, I'm telling you what, they grab on to anything they can find that will bring them hope in these days. And we have an amazing opportunity to go to the front lines, hand out these Bibles, preach the gospel. Maybe next month I may be headed to the front lines to deliver these, and I'm so, so excited about doing that. Is it dangerous? Oh, yeah, it's dangerous. But, man, talking about a place to preach the gospel, a place to let people know about Jesus who desperately, desperately want to have hope. My goodness, it's unbelievable opportunity, and the Lord brought it to us, and I'm like, we want to carry this thing. We'll carry it as far as we can and see how many people will jump on board. So for $5 you can put one of these Bibles into a soldier's hand, and when they have that Bible, man, that Bible, you know, man, the Word of God changes lives. The Word of God is living and active and sharper than any double-edged sword. It is alive, and so it brings hope, and we're just so thankful. I didn't do a good job because it did it again. Okay. So anyway, we are so incredibly thankful about that we get to be a part of it, and we're actually going to get to be able to deliver them when we go. We've got a lot of great connections. One thing about Sergey is Sergey is so well connected. You guys did meet him, right? Did we bring him here? We bring Sergey. No, we didn't bring. We got to bring Sergey here. Next time he comes, he's got to come to the gathering. You guys got to meet Sergey. He's awesome. If you come to our gala, he's usually there. We try to get him there for every time because he is. He's another person that the Lord brought to us that has completely transformed and taken to a new level what we're doing in Ukraine. So, because this guy is a man of vision, a man of passion, and a man who's just desperately in love with Jesus, and we're so grateful that he leads our team over there. So, what you guys have been talking about, and I am blown away that I get to be a part of this, and that is you guys have been in the Sermon on the Mount, I believe, right? And this next part, which I believe is such an integral part today of what people have to hear are found in these words from Jesus. And that's in Matthew 5:13-16, salt and light. You are the salt of the earth, but the salt loses its saltiness. How can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So today, I've been so burdened, as probably many of you have, as we see identity attacked like none other today. It's amazing to see how the identity of this generation is being attacked. I mean, the enemy is going after this generation so hard, attacking their identity, who they are, to force them into a state of confusion. They don't know what's up and what's down. A lot of times we see things, it's like, I mean, I'm in my 50s, but when I see the stuff that I see, it doesn't make sense. I'm like, are you kidding me? Like they're saying a guy compete in girls' sports, and I'm like, that just makes no sense. Like I'm just like, that's upside down. That's like just pure insanity, and I can't fathom it because I love playing sports. I can't even wrap my head around that. But this is the stuff that's being pushed today, and what it is, it's an attack on identity. And that identity is so important because who we are in Christ is so important. Like, we don't get to choose our identity. If you're a believer in Christ, you don't choose your identity. Your identity is chosen. It's written in the Word of God who you are. And who you are is absolutely amazing. But if you're in the world, you get to choose your identity. You can be who you want to be. You can choose this, you can choose that, you can choose whatever you want to choose. But in Christ, your identity is chosen. You are a new creation, right? You are powerful. You are God's chosen one for this time, for such a time as this. He has put power in you. He's put mercy in you, grace, love to go into all the world and preach the gospel and make disciples of all men. And so identity is attacked today like nothing else I've ever seen. And so looking at male, female, binary, non-binary, there's so much confusion and so many people are misled. This generation is desperate to find identity. But they are talking about it disconnected from their creator. So they're talking about identity without talking about the creator, the one who created them. It's disassociated from creation. It's found in whatever it is that you think makes you happy or whatever it is that you want to identify with. It's not found in the creator. And we know this, that the creator's DNA, his fingerprint is in all creation. We can't escape it. Now we look at creation, there's so many. I used to love in children's ministry, I used to love talking about animals. I used to do the whole thing, the creatures that defy evolution. Have you ever watched any of those videos? Anybody? Y'all, there's just so much cool stuff out there to show kids that God's fingerprint is on all of these animals. And kids love animals. I love animals, and they're just fun to talk about. So, like, even talking about a chick, like a chick inside of an egg, you think when a baby comes out, human baby comes out, knows nothing. I mean, zero, right? Everything is taught to it. A chick is smarter than a human baby. It's crazy. Like, when a chick is inside of that egg, it has something on top of its, you know, it's the only bird that has this, and that kind of defies evolution. It has a tooth. It has an egg tooth on top of its beak. And what it does is when, you know, when it's time and its lungs have developed, everything's developed inside, it knows that there's an air sac over top of it. And it knows that once those lungs develop, it has to puncture that air sac. So now all of a sudden it punctures the air sac. How did it know to do that? I don't know. That sounds like God's fingerprint, right? I mean, if it was a baby, the baby's like, you know, maybe accidentally it might run its elbow into it. But you think all of a sudden when it gets that fresh air, what is it going to do? Oh, that's awesome, right? Whew, man, that's crazy. We would relax, like, oh, gosh, I'm so glad there's fresh air. Oh, that's wonderful. No, that bird goes crazy. Like, it just starts going nuts because it knows it has, like, 2 minutes and 45 seconds to get out of that encasing. It starts working furiously because it knows. How does it know? How does it know? How does this chick know that it has to get out of this egg? The chick doesn't, how could it know anything? Only God. God puts his fingerprint until there's code inside of that little dumb chick, right? We know chickens are so stupid. I mean, they're just dumb animals. Like, they're, you know, you can cut their head off and they still run around, right? It's just crazy. They don't even need the brain. But in that very beginning, they're smarter than any, like, living little being inside of that egg when it should know absolutely nothing. It knows, I've got 2 minutes and 45 seconds to get outside of this egg, or I'm going to die. And it does. It gets outside the egg, and then it's fine, right? So then also, here's the last one I'll share with you. One of the other fascinating ones is the bull giraffe. So the bull giraffe, awesome, incredible creature. And, of course, you know, evolutionists would say, oh, that, you know, it developed the long neck because it was trying to get the trees. And, you know, the neck grew longer over time. And it just weird, crazy stuff. Like, you guys have so much faith. You got more faith than I do to believe that craziness. So the bull giraffe, you think about this. He's got this massive heart because he has to pump blood all the way up in the air, right? So you know that pump is huge. It's the most powerful pump. The heart pump in the animal kingdom is the bull giraffe. So it's pumping. Goosh, goosh, goosh. He's looking around, right? He's like, man, I'm so thirsty. Now what happens when he puts his head down and now all of a sudden that pump is going downhill? Okay, right? It's fine when it was up here and that power of that pump was just getting it nice and gently to the brain. Now, he puts it down. Any of you guys know about pumps? You start going downhill, what's going to happen? Well, his head's going to blow up, right? Boom! As soon as he's like, I'm so thirsty, boom! I'm dead. Right? He puts his head down. This is wild. So what happens as he puts his head down, the only animal in the animal kingdom, has little valves that close off. And slowly, as he puts his head down, they start closing off. And they close off until it's completely closed. Well, then you're like, well, isn't he going to die? No. He has another little artery that goes over top of that. And it begins to pump blood to the brain. Now you're thinking, what's going to happen when he sees a lion? He's like, I've got to put my head up real fast. What happens when you get up too fast? Right? You pass out. Well, he's got no blood on his brain, right? No. He's got plenty of blood because that little artery pumps blood to a sponge that's on top of his brain. And so as soon as he picks his head up, he doesn't pass out because the sponge releases the blood on top of his brain until the heart valves can open back up. Is that God? How do you explain that, evolution? Explain that to me. Explain it to me. You can't. You can't explain it except that God's DNA, his fingerprint is on all these animals, and you can't. They defy evolution. There's no other. There's the horse isn't that way. Whatever his closest relatives is not that way. There's no other animal in the animal kingdom that has a sponge on his brain. That defies evolution. That wouldn't be right. So God has his fingerprint all over creation. But yet the world is trying to confuse this generation in who you are. And his fingerprint is all over creation, screaming, there's a designer, there's a creator, there's a God who loves you, who has a plan for you, who has a purpose for you, who tells you that you are born for such a time as this, to go into all the world and make disciples of all men. This is what God is trying to get across. But the enemy is sowing confusion. And actually, you think about it, we're the ones that are supposed to be making the enemy confused, right? I mean, you look at Gideon. Like Gideon, like the whole thing God told him to do, you know, the whole story. Well, at the end, you know, they get the lights and they're all around and they think, you know, as soon as they break those lanterns and the flames go up, all of a sudden that army thinks that it's surrounded because God's people have taken their rightful place where they're supposed to be, listened to their creator, listened to their God, did what they was instructed to them. Because they did that, a few people caused chaos amongst the enemy. And the enemy actually started killing each other, right? And then they didn't even have to do anything. All they had to do was just, you know, go after the Lord. And you take about, what's the worshipers? I just had it in my head before. You know, the worshipers started praising God, and then Jehoshaphat, yes. I had it in my head before I came up here. I was like, Jehoshaphat. Yeah, we know the story about Jehoshaphat. What did they do? They worshipped. Before they were completely surrounded. All these armies came out against Israel. And Jehoshaphat listened to God, and he had everyone worship. And what happened? The enemy was confused. Well, that enemy now is trying to confuse God's people. And he's trying to confuse this generation. Okay, we're going to wrap it up. I know you guys are getting, it's getting close. So everything in our life follows how we see ourselves. If you see yourself as a victim, that's going to affect the way you think. If you see yourself as a victor, that's going to affect the way you think. Your values follow your identity. So how we deal with others, how we work with our finances, how we have whatever our worldview is, it has to do with how we identify. So it's so important that we follow after Christ and we identify with what he says about us. Even thinking about the universe. Think about universe. If you just think about the word one verse sentence, universe, the universe, what is it? God created, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, right? That's the one verse. That's the one sentence that tells what the universe is. The one thing, God, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Right there, it's spelled out for everybody, the universe. So how you were raised, the experiences you had as a kid, maybe the trauma that you faced, maybe, you know, the things that we have to walk through in life all affect our identity. But when we come to Christ, all that healing can begin because it's so important for us to come to him and get that healing and get into his word that can transform our life. Where we're talking about this whole Bible project, that word can transform a soldier's life who is facing fear, intimidation, doubt, and he is scared out of his mind. But that word, the word of God, can change his life, can wash over his mind, wash over his body, and make him right. When he reads those words and comes to the Creator, comes to our God, comes to Jesus and said, yes, I need you. I need your protection. I give you my life. And so even in the midst of all that, we don't have to have any fear. We don't have to have any fear about going to the front lines. We don't have to have any fear about any of those things. We don't have to have fear about how many days we have on this earth, because we know God has a plan for us, and he's going to see it to completion. So when you think about the traumas and all those things of how we were raised, I think a lot to my grandmother. My grandmother's actually absolutely amazing woman. She taught Sunday school most all of her life. But crazy thing with her is that when she was a little girl, her dad's mom died, and her dad married, another woman. So which is going to happen, and brings her in, and that new mom decided that she didn't want my grandmother. And so she actually had my grandmother go stay with her grandparents because she didn't want her. So you imagine dealing with that kind of trauma, that kind of rejection. But see, we have, some of us have walked through that kind of thing. I was amazed. My dad left when I was one. I thought I was something like, man, this was terrible. My dad rejected me. He wouldn't have anything to do with me. He ignored me. Didn't really notice me. And I think it was easier for him because he felt guilty. But here, I was like in my F3 group, and there's this guy, Mark Wall. He starts telling me about his life. His life was like hell on earth growing up. It was absolutely staggering listening to the things that happened to him. But see, God transformed his life. And he's no longer bound by that trauma that he was in. That's no longer ruling over him. It's not ruling over his family. It's not ruling over his marriage, because he's given his life to the Lord, and he's been washed by the word of God. He's been washed by Jesus' blood, and he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. That is the hope for us. When you give your life to Jesus, that transformative power is in you. Now, what you do with it, that's going to be up to you. Now, you could still stay in those same ways. You can, or you can come to the Creator. You can come to Jesus and say, Jesus, I need help. Holy Spirit, help me. I want to get beyond this trauma. I want to be effective. I don't want to be held back anymore. And that could be you today. You could be like, man, I feel like I'm being held back by all the stuff that happened to me in my past. I'm still blaming people. I'm not living in forgiveness. And it's very important that you break that cycle. You break it and you forgive. Because when you do that, that freedom that comes is for you. It's not so the other person's set free, because God's going to deal with that person, but at least you're stepping out of the way and going, God, I trust you. You deal with that person. I love you. I love them, because you told me that's what I'm supposed to do, so I'm doing it. I trust you. And then what happens is that person steps out of the way, and God can completely deal with that person. That's the best thing that could happen for them. But when you're judging them, you're standing in the way. You're saying, I know better. I know better how to deal with that person. And so that's blocking. Like, God wants to judge with that person, but you're standing there going, no, I can do it better. I can do it better than you. But when you say, no, I forgive them. God, you've forgiven me of so much. So, yes, absolutely, I'm going to forgive them, because I didn't deserve the forgiveness you gave me. But I give that forgiveness. And so in this, I'm going to close. Trying to get down to just the very end here. So in the kingdom, your identity has been chosen for you, and you must embrace it. I was abandoned. I was abandoned by my father, so I was fearful. I had fear of men. I was scared. I was bitter. But God transformed me. He transformed me. I'm no longer those things anymore. That's why I love those testimonies when somebody gets baptized and they go, I was this, but now I'm that, right? And this is what God does. This is his identity. That whole thing that happens is him changing someone. So with Jesus, it wasn't enough to say that I am the resurrection and the life. That's the statement. But what's the functionality of the functionality is he went and raised people from the dead. right? That was the functionality part of it. And so you ask yourself, what's my functionality? I can say I'm these things. I can say I'm not scared. I can say I'm not bitter. I can say I'm forgiven. Am I going out and forgiving others? Am I going out and doing those things? What's the functionality in us? He says, I'm the bread of life, right? He could just have said that, but no, he didn't do that. He actually went out and fed people. He fed the 5,000. I'm not just saying I'm the bread of life. I'm going out and giving bread to the 5,000. This is what he does. So what's our functionality? It's enough. We can make that statement, which is great, awesome. We can make that statement all over the internet and, you know, make our post and look at me. But what are we doing? Where are we going? What's our functionality? Are we going out? Are we doing those things? So the last thing I'm going to say about the whole, you know, our scripture today is, you know, salt was used so many things. We've heard all this before. You know, salt was used to for so many things. One thing I didn't know salt was used for was actually used as currency. I don't know if you knew that, but back then, actually, people were paid with salt. I mean, salt was like it was priceless. And not only was it used to season things, it was used as currency. It was also used as a way to make a covenant with someone. Once you made a covenant, then you ate salt together, and it actually sealed the covenant. So if you're making a business agreement or whatever. But the last thing salt did, I think this is the thing we'll end on, is that salt was used to preserve things. We know that fish, they didn't have refrigerators back then. They had to put salt. They packed things with salt. And what did that do? It kept things from decaying. So what he's telling us in this scripture, our identity, who we are, is we are the salt of the world. We are the ones who are going to prevent decay in this lost and dying world. He wants to take us and he wants to pack this world with us, pack salt into this world that is decaying and dying, and we're the ones that are there going, no, we're not going to allow it, not on our watch. We're going to stand up for God. We're going to do what's right, and we are going to follow what the Lord says. And so he wants to take us and sprinkle us over this world. When Jesus looked out at the people, he looked out at them, he had compassion on them because he knew he was going to take his children and he was going to sprinkle his children all over this decaying world. And that's who you guys are today. Last word I want to say to you, I felt this before I came up here, is that I always feel like the Lord will give me a word for this church because I think this church is so important. But as I was worshiping up here today, that was bad, just cough right in the microphone. Golly, that hurt. Is that as we were worshiping, I felt like this place was ready to catch on fire. Like it was just as if, like last night I was cooking backstrap. We had some friends over, and that's my jam. As I cook, I wrap backstrap with bacon, and I season each side of that, and it's just the best meat ever. So I was out there, and I was cooking. I was sweating like I am right now. Crazy. This is what I do. I sweat. I'm a sweaty guy. Just ask Richard. He played pickleball with me, and he sees I sweat a lot. Right, buddy? That guy is awesome. You should play pickleball with him. He's a master. So I was out there, and as I was cooking, I was trying to move some of the coals around, and one of the coals just flipped out. And I didn't see it, but that's where I had this box of kindling. So I went back to cooking. All of a sudden, the smoke starts coming up. I'm like, oh, no, there's like flames like shooting up because this dry kindling was right there that I was using to start fires. Probably a bad place to keep the kindling, like right by the... Yeah, I'm not a fireman, obviously. I live dangerously. So it flipped out and it hit like there's actually... This is another bad thing to tell you. There's actually a bale of hay right there. Not good. So... That little coal, I've never flipped a coal out before, okay? Stop judging me. So one flipped out. And I just saw just like a little piece, maybe. I didn't even really think much about it until the smoke started coming up. And I was like, oh, man. Ooh, God, I better put that out quick, right? But I felt like that in here, like everything is like, I'm not saying you guys are dry. What I'm saying is you guys are ready to ignite. Like I feel like from the Lord is that it just... I don't know what the match is going to be, but there's a match that's going to hit you guys, and this place is just going to get consumed. I mean consumed by God's fire. And I think there's, as we're talking about this whole identity thing, I think there are distractions that are around and that are coming in trying to steal your identity. Your identity is a place that is getting ready to catch fire, and it's not going to just catch this place. It's going to catch the whole town on fire. And no telling the global reach of that, whatever that fire is, because this city is set on a hill. And once that, in the further in that scripture, what does it do? When that city is lit up, everyone sees it. And so I just really feel from the Lord that you guys are in that place, that you're worship. I just felt that in your worship, that you're like, man, come on, man, bring it. Somebody, light that match. We're ready to burn. And just stay in that place. Stay in that place because the fire is coming. The match is being lit. Okay, and you guys are getting ready to catch fire like you've never seen before. I feel like you are on fire, but there's getting ready to be a fire comes as kindling is just thrown in here. And it's like, whoa. Have you ever burned a couch before? Let me tell you what. I found the reason why houses go up so fast, and it's the couch. All cushions are petroleum, just to let you know. Once that thing catches fire, some of you partiers out there, yeah, man. We were at my cousin's house. We were partying. That couch caught on fire. Burned the whole place down. I'm telling you what, man. That's the kind of fire I'm talking about. I'm not just talking about that. We're just like, we're smoldering for Jesus. Now, I'm talking about a couch fire, okay? Couch fire's coming here. When we burned that thing, it went up, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, this is so hot. I'm glad I got to see it because this is what these firemen deal with, walking into a scene like that with petroleum couches on fire and chairs. Whew, man. But that's my word for y'all, okay? Couch fire. Not dumpster fire. Couch fire. You guys get ready. The Lord loves you guys. Dar and I are always so excited when we come here. Very thankful for y'all, what you guys encourage us by sowing into our ministry. But this place is special, and it's not just because I know you guys, this place is special to the Lord. And it's a special place that God wants to do mighty things with, and the fire is coming. It's going to spread. It's going to spread all over. There's going to be a whole lot of couches burning. All right. Well, listen, I'm going to set you guys free. I want to wish everybody happy Father's Day. Fathers in the room, solidarity, brothers. Love you guys so much. I'm going to pray over you, and we'll close it out. And you guys have an amazing Father's Day. Go burn something. Just don't burn a couch. Lord, we just love you so much, and we're so grateful, Father, just for the identity that you've placed in us. Father, we thank you that our identity is set in you, Father, because we can read your word, and we see who we are, Father, and we pray, Lord, over this generation that's being attacked. Their identity is being attacked, and confusion is being sown. But, Father, I just pray that you would come in like a flood, like a rushing wind, like a mighty fire to this generation, Lord, that you would set them on fire, Lord, that they would be the ones, Lord, that they would be the city on a hill, Father, as the enemy is coming against them. Lord, I pray that you would surround them, that your host of angels would surround them, and this generation would rise, and they would call you Lord and God. And we thank you, Lord, that we know the end of all this, that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that you are Lord. And we just thank you for that, Father. So we just pray over this generation, Lord. We pray over all the identities in this place. So we thank you for everyone that's here. We thank you for what you're doing, and we thank you that we can be with you at such a time as this and be able to just war together with our brothers and sisters, Father. We thank you for them. I pray you bless them all in a special way today. And just pray a special blessing over all the fathers here today. We love you. We ask this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.